And it's like a double entendre, you know? Like, we're all going to die. Wait, from the monsters or from passing gas?
One way or another,
right.
We're going down.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Ted. Welcome back. It's another recording.
That's right. Take two. It'll be better than the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite times in the week, and we get to do it twice this week.
Oh, special week.
Yeah. So just a little insider information, you know. So Ted sends me his file. We both record on each side of the podcast or, you know, in our own place. And I sit down in the morning, get my coffee. I'm going to start editing. There's Ted's file. I drop it in to GarageBand, which is what we're using, and my file is nowhere to be found. So here we are, re-recording because Jim didn't back up.
No, I blame your fan. I blame the fan on the backup drive that you have to turn off while we record. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, I have my backup drive, and you know, it vibrates into the microphone, so I turn it off whenever we record. And, you know, and then we're all done and I forget to turn it back on. And sure enough, I didn't back up. And I don't, you know, actually, maybe I did back up. When I opened it, it just wasn't there. I'm not even sure what happened. I mean, the file was there. It's just the recording was missing. But, well, whatever. Here we are again.
That's all right. This will be better than last time because yeah. I wasn't happy with me anyway.
You know, and we enjoy doing this so much. So why not twice in a week instead of just once, right?
That's right. We'll both have better quips.
There we go. Yeah, so this week, one thing I wanted to talk about, it's a little bit older, came out in 2015, but the television show on the Sci-Fi Network, The Expanse. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it. I pulled up a trailer to check it out, and I was excited leading our show tonight because I was excited that you brought this to the table, and we've kind of been very collaborative over the past couple of months, but this is something you were excited about, so I got excited about that. So what's your take? You're about a season in or just under?
Yeah, my wife and I were about, I don't know, half a season. Yeah, we're half a season in, so I don't know what that is, like, you know, seven episodes or something. And seeing as we're trailer junkies, I don't really want to talk too much about the show. I do want to discuss the trailer to the first season, but before we get to that, I'll make a brief discussion about how I think the Sci-Fi Network has put some money into this series. And a lot of things, when you think about sci-fi, you kind of think about B-rated science fiction, you know, Sharknado and just all this just bad sci-fi. I think The Expanse, it's right there. I mean, it is one of the best shows on television right now.
That's a high claim.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's Game of Thrones 250 years from now, and a Game of Thrones in space. However, I don't think it's as good as a Game of Thrones, but it's certainly a solid show. You know, like when I talk about Game of Thrones, I mean, instead of like city states, you have planetary states, and you know, a number of the characters you can say are parallel to the Game of Thrones. The plot moves fast, unlike a show like Lost. And I know Lost has, you know, massive fan base, and I'm probably going to get a ton of hate mail for this, but Lost took forever to go nowhere. You know, I think it's a dense and complex plot. They probably have a lot of science collaborators and science consultants. Overall, I'd say the show is solid.
Yeah, so I just watched the trailer. I've seen the trailer a few times. It's sci-fi, so I can't get Battlestar Galactica, the Ronald D. Moore reboot, out of my head. When you hear the beginning of the trailer, it has the same tone, the same kind of score to it. It leads you into that same path. It's on sci-fi. One of the things that put sci-fi on the map was BSG.
Oh, it's such an awesome show.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone can look at this and not, you know, compare it right off the bat to Ronald D. Moore.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You said it's not as good as Game of Thrones. Is it as good as Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think...
Wow.
Battlestar Galactica was a solid one. Sure, they're not putting the money that HBO's putting in, but the storyline right now, I mean, is, again, solid. And I would say, yeah, I mean, it's right there with Battlestar Galactica.
But Battlestar Galactica was sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're talking about the comparison with Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, what are they spend money like water, and it's shows up on screen.
Yeah, they're not traveling the globe doing filming the way Game of Thrones is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the writing, I think the science consulting, I mean, sure, it's like any science fiction, you're going to have some gimmies in there, you know, but overall, I mean, I think the science writing, the way they do physics, the way they explain gravity and how they do the biology of the human body, if you were going to be living in space or born in space and your existence is in mm-hmm. space, and then you come back to Earth for whatever the reason, but you come back to Earth and the gravity of Earth is so strong that it's like crushing you. I mean, I think they got it right in a lot of ways. The other thing that I think that's cool about when you see in the trailer is it's 250 years or so. I don't remember exactly, but they give the information that climate change has happened. And, you know, they show certain things like the Statue of Liberty. They'll show New York, and the Statue of Liberty is surrounded by, you know, a dam that's keeping it from being flooded out.
Mm.
And they give statements, you know, Earth first and all this kind of stuff. So it's all this underlying climate change, like, let's protect it before we lose it kind of messages.
Oh, that's disheartening. They're still fighting that fight 250 years later.
No. I don't mean that at all. What I mean is, I think to the modern day viewer today, you know, that's the message they're saying is like, you know, we're 250 years in the future. So you people back 250 years ago, meaning present time, pay attention. You guys F shit up, you know, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're dealing with the aftermath of what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get that in the trailer, though. I think that's in the show, right?
No, it's in the show for sure. But no, I totally picked it up in the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, as you're watching, I mean, they make various statements how we just mess things up and, you know, and just some of the things they're saying, like, I don't know if she's Indian or Pakistani or whatever, but she's like the matriarch of the show.
Right.
And she says, you know, she makes a statement, Earth must come first, you know, and I think it's just another nail to drive home the point that, you know, we need to take care of the planet.
But it's not preachy, right?
No, I don't think it's preachy at all. I think they just have like these subtleties that come in, like,
okay,
they won't say anything, but all you do is you just see, well, and maybe in the show, but you see that the sea levels have risen. They won't say it. You just have to kind of pick up and go like, oh, right. Damn, the ice.
They don't have to say it.
Yeah, you don't have to say like, oh, wow, the ice sheets must have melted, you know, whatever. The poles must have thawed. Now, overall, I think the show is, you know, in the trailer, I think represents the show well.
Awesome.
I mean, I would recommend it for sure. I mean, I'm in the middle of watching it, and I'm not ready to say, you know, to put it down.
No, I'll definitely check it out. I think I've been burned by too many of the reboots or the Battlestar Galactica spinoffs. There's been a couple of them.
On sci-fi or just like in general?
Out and about. I think there was Caprica. And then there was another one that was done online. Caprica left me so high and dry.
Well, they never finished it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then Ronald D. Moore went off and did Outlander, which like every woman, my wife and my mother-in-law, they love it. So it's like I was weirded out by it. And I just recently found out that Ronald D. Moore was producing that and show running that. But on top of that, Apple has signed on and got Ronald D. Moore to produce a show for them, one of their first series that they're going to be producing.
Okay.
For their, whatever, their future platform. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So we'll see. We'll see what Ronald D. Moore can serve up for us. But in the meantime, I guess I'll check this out since it's getting some acclaim across the board here from Jim and others.
Let me go back a second. So you said Apple.
Yeah.
Are they going to do what Netflix and Hulu and...
Hulu, everybody. Yep.
So Apple is getting their own studio and doing their own filming and production.
Yeah, I mean, they're signing up to create content. So as far as like having a studio and stuff like that, anybody can do it. It's similar to the way that, you know, Warner Brothers will produce a television show, but it'll be on NBC on linear broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll be the ones producing it wherever they produce it, but they'll own the show going into it. Deadline from December had a space drama series. Apple orders Ronald D. Moore space drama series. So I'll put a link of that in our show notes as well.
Apple has enough money to put into a production company for sure, you know. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what they come up with. I mean, you know, hey, I'm a fan as long as it's good. Right?
So Outlander and Expanse, we got to watch those. I got to watch The Expanse. The Outlander might be a little too much of it's a kind of a period piece drama. It's a time traveling period piece drama.
Wait, is that the one? Is Outlander the one from, they're like Scottish or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, my mom's into that show.
See? And it's like, what are they doing? But apparently it's hot and heavy and amazing, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, we didn't talk about the last time too much, but I will check out The Expanse.
All right, cool. So let's move forward. What's next on the agenda then?
All right, so we'll get into our TGP deep dive for the week, and it's this week it's Red Sparrow.
Yeah, Red Sparrow. It looks like a good one.
So there's tons of buzz around this new Jennifer Lawrence thriller actioner with all the Cold War fun and Bourne identity.
Well, and that's what I wanted to say. The first two words is Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
It has that feel to it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Cold War. I mean, I don't know. Are Cold War movies relevant today?
If you have enough action in it, I'm sure it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess the time period doesn't matter. It's just, it's...
Oh, what am I saying? Of course the Cold War is active. Don't you think we're in a new Cold War?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's true. I mean, I guess the question is this an 80s Cold War movie or is this a modern day Cold War movie? Who's the enemy? Is it the Russians, the North Koreans? Well, I guess we'll have to watch to find out.
Yeah, she definitely looks more Russian.
The other question, or maybe comment, why is it that whenever they have, you know, the Russian woman who is, I don't know, what would you call it? Like the one who trains the other spies and everything. I mean, they always have to look so masculine.
Oh, yeah.
Like as if that makes for like the badass Russian woman. You know what I mean?
Is next evening there? Very nice.
Or whatever, the badass Russian spy or something. I mean, I don't get
yes.
it.
Yes, you must be hardened.
Yeah, and in order to do that, you can wear no makeup until you need to wear makeup. Yeah, so what, you know, give me your overall perspective of Red Sparrow. What do you think?
So to me, Red Sparrow, it's sold as an action movie.
Uh-huh.
But when you see like Atomic Blonde and you see all these other action movies, I think even the future of whatever Black Widow is going to be, this movie feels more like a thriller. The ballet stuff makes me think of Black Swan. And
Black Swan, right.
Black Swan, Red Sparrow, all that stuff kind of flows together. And there's only really one real action piece where she, you know, is getting assaulted in the shower and she goes and like takes the guy out with a
sure
shower handle or something. But other than that, it's all driven by the music, the pace, and just this anticipation and just the scoring of the thing just keeps it going and speeding up, and the editing does it too. So there's a lot of false action that's kind of built into the trailer. So the trailer does some of the heavy lifting of making you feel like it's moving faster. But in the end, it's really about the thriller of, like, will Joel Egerton find out that he's being played, you know, in time? Or, you know, how much, you know, is she falling for him? Is that, that's always, like, one of the angles. Is she falling for the mark that she's supposed to take down? So there's a lot of thriller aspects of this, and the action aspects seem to kind of get pushed to the back a little bit. It's still going to be important to the movie, but it's not like Lara Croft or something like that, where it's action forward. Does that make sense?
Okay, so if you think about, you mentioned Black Swan, and there was a book, Nassim Taleb, I believe, was the author, and a Black Swan is like that unforeseen event or something that's not predictable. Maybe you're looking at anything that's predictable, and a Black Swan is like the opposite of that. What do you think they mean by Red Sparrow? They're both birds, and they're both colors, but...
I mean, red. Red gives you the national color of Russia, Mother Russia. So I think that's
I kind of had a feeling with that.
That's where that goes. I don't know. For me, the sparrow to me is a frail bird. You know what I mean? I think it seems like
unassuming, perhaps.
Maybe unassuming. Maybe, you know, a sparrow you don't notice. Yeah, that's a good way to think of it. So something that can slip in anywhere. You know,
kind of the bird in the background.
Yeah. It can steal the bird feeder seed without hurting anybody, or get in and get out, you know, without being noticed. So I think that's the angle. Is that along the lines of what you were thinking?
Well, yeah, the red definitely. I mean, you look at Russia, or even I don't know what the time period is, but if it's in the 80s or 70s or something, then certainly the Soviet Union. If later, then yeah, definitely Russia. But I was thinking maybe like sparrow in the sense that some big bird that's more, you know, you look at something like a hawk thing. I mean, they're so noticeable.
Yeah.
But a sparrow is part of like just the everyday, all over the place. You know, their song, everything is just kind of what you're used to hearing. And so much so that you just stop seeing them. She's just another person in the background that you're just not going to see.
Yeah.
Which is what makes her so dangerous, because she'll sneak in, sneak out. Not even sneak. I mean, she's just there and in and out. And you don't even see her.
Yeah.
You know, where if she was, you know, a predatory bird, you know, if they, that's what they named it, you know, the red hawk or something, then yeah, I mean, very noticeable. You're going to be like, whoa, here comes like something big and scary. Like, I better watch out for this. But as far as a sparrow,
right.
Yeah. You know, I just think that's how it goes.
But it could still peck your eyes out, little sparrow, right?
Right. One thing that I think about whenever I watch movies is there's what, like seven storylines or seven plots to all movies.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and as I mentioned, you look at a Jason Bourne movie, or you look at any spy movie, even, I mean, a lot of these might even be like, you know, 007 type things.
Yeah.
It kind of lends the argument to say, you know, are these movies, have they already been done, and they're just rehashing storyline after storyline?
Story plots, all right? Is that
Yeah, there's like, what is it? It's every movie falls into like one of seven categories.
Seven basic plots. That's what they're saying here.
So if you look at Jason Bourne, you might say that the United States and the CIA converted Jason Bourne to do the bidding for the United States, where in this one, the Soviet Union converts Jennifer Lawrence to do the bidding, and she becomes, you know, the spy. And
yeah,
I mean, it's all kind of the same plot rehashed over and over again. I mean, we see this often.
But if you think of this as Jason Bourne, and then you say, like, we'll put Jennifer Lawrence in instead of Jason Bourne, so it becomes kind of like the gender bender, like we were talking about with Ocean's 8. At least she's not like going undercover as a lady shoe salesman or something like that, you know. So it keeps it in the espionage space.
And it makes you wonder, though. I mean, you know, on the spy side of things, you know, throughout history, I mean, how many secrets were lost in bed? You know, I would say certainly women spies have the advantage over male spies, you know, female spies over male spies. You know, men go and they're doing their spy work. You know, what was that? What was the cartoon Spy versus Spy?
Spy versus Spy. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, they're doing their spy work and sitting in a bar one night, you know, totally unassuming. Some little cute honey walks up and starts chatting you. And I mean, if you're not on your game, you know, she'll she'll seduce you and you're just giving up the secrets to, you know, the latest weapons or whatever they are and why, you know, you're what the United States is doing wherever they are. And I know it's a two-way street for sure, but man, the secret's lost in bed.
Did you see the second movie for The Kingsman?
No.
So The Kingsman 1, the first Kingsman is great movie. Groundbreaking, awesome, loved it. Second movie pales in comparison. Not great, but, you know, decent popcorn movie. Watched it with a wife. Sure. And there's a scene in there where he has to sleep with a mark, but he's engaged to somebody. Sorry, spoilers, we're saying it a little late.
I'll forget, don't worry.
But when he calls her to tell his fiance that he has to sleep with this mark for national security, I just thought that was probably the best thing of the whole movie for me, was the idea that you know, you're on your cell phone telling your significant other that I have to sleep with this woman for to save the world.
I f***ed her. I make love to you.
And, you know, I'm taking one for the team.
Taking one for the team. Baby, if I don't do this, then none of us may survive. Okay, honey, go for it. You know, I can just imagine, you know, like, yeah. I might do that, but, you know, I probably wouldn't survive the return flight, you know.
Yeah, I would get the choice of the world can survive or I could survive.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. I mean, do you think you're going to see it?
I'm going to see it. We're waiting for this one. Waiting for streaming on this one.
You know, I might even do Blu-ray or something. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, probably not the theater, you know. But it definitely, I think this one's definitely on the list, though.
What do you do, Redbox?
No, we'll do Netflix.
No, I mean you still get discs from Netflix?
We put it on hold, but I might start them up again. Yeah. You know what we'll do? Certain shows or whatever come out and we like desperately want to watch them. So it's like, it's only disc. So then we're just like, all right, let's start it up again. You know, like whatever it is, $10.99 a month.
Oh my God.
So we'll do it for like as fast as you can turn them around, you know, which is right. Like every 3 days or something. But then all of a sudden I know when we need to stop because that disc will sit on my coffee table for like a month and a half. And I see the bill come by. And I'm like, and that disc is still sitting there. Let's watch it, send it back, and cancel. Yeah, you know, maybe Redbox might be the way to go, and then you just pay as you watch, you know.
Yeah, and with me, Redbox is the way to go because I know that I have to get it back before 9 o'clock, and it becomes its own drama in and of itself. It's like we have to watch this right away, so the urgency is built in. When you rent from Redbox, it's you know, the clock is ticking on that thing, and it's going to charge you an extra day if you keep it past 9 p.m. on the following day. It's like, I don't care how bad the kids are. They're watching their movie. We paid for it. They're watching it tonight.
Like, you're like, watch the damn movie. And Bryce is like, Dad, no. Yeah. So, okay, maybe, you know, we've done Redbox. I mean, I have a Redbox account. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should just that route instead of starting and canceling and waiting for mail. I don't know. Yeah, it just seems like antiquated to some degree. You know, see, it's so 2007.
I know.
Anyway, three-word review.
Three-word review. Okay, yes, I get to redeem myself because the first go-round I did not have a three-word review for this.
Uh-oh.
So... It's not going to be great. I can't build up too much anticipation. So I was thinking purple barn owl, but that's like that's just an oddity. Owl. Yeah, just because it has colors and birds and like you're talking about, you know,
black
it's
swan.
It's not a three-word review. Black swan. Black swan's only two words. I would have gone black swan, but
saying something like purple barn owl says this movie is so weak. There's no reason for you to go see it because it's just some like colorful bird. I don't even know. Like that's terrible.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you got. God,
no, I should do something better. Let's see. What's better?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Let's workshop it. We'll go into a break. And then after this break, I'll hit you with my 3-word review to hopefully redeem myself.
Coming up later on Trailer Junkies.
Silent but deadly. Because how do you pass gas when the monsters are coming to get you?
And if you enjoyed Trailer Junkies podcast and would like to help us out, please leave a review or rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Ted, let's get back to it and your 3-word review.
All right. So thanks for we workshop a little bit on the break. And I do like the cold. Is Cold War hyphenated? Is it one word?
Cold War. I would say Cold War. I would say it's 2 words. It's a Cold War. Like a hot war would be like we're like shooting at each other. A Cold War is kind of like a standoff. So yeah, I'd say it's a Cold War.
Cold War gender bender.
Cold War gender bender. That's 4 words.
Yeah.
It's a 4-word.
But
review.
See, that's, but no, because gender bender is definitely hyphenated then. One of those 2 words will be hyphenated. I will figure it out.
Yeah, but that's cheating. I like Cold War. What?
Cold War what? Okay. You win.
Okay. All right, moving on.
That's
so
right.
So we're looking at Breaking In.
So Breaking In.
Third one for this week. We have a number of them this week.
Yeah, so we did 4 this week. But Breaking In is just a really quick note. I just wanted, because last week we did Game Over Man, and Breaking In to me was just the epitome of Die Hard in a blank. So this is like Die Hard. This is like Die Hard with an heiress, you know, and it's so funny because
Die Hard in Daddy's Mansion,
right? Die Hard in Daddy's Mansion. And, you know, Daddy Warbucks is dead and I have to go close up the house and get it ready to sell. But wait, there's, you know, something hidden in the house. There's money hidden in the house. And I'm not giving it away because it's all over the trailer. And then the trailer just goes through like mind-numbing trailer tropes of like the bad guy behind the glass and he's like wagging his finger and
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
And it's like, you know, if Die Hard had Bruce Willis and this has Gabrielle Union, I think it's an upgrade because I think Gabrielle Union is amazing. But Alan Rickman is rolling over in his grave being, you know, trying to be followed by, you know, this whole crew of people.
Watching the trailer, my first thought, Panic Room.
That's right. It definitely has that feel.
So like Panic Room, would you say that's Die Hard in a vault?
And see, I think Die Hard in a vault. I think when Panic Room came out, it was a different take. It was a different angle. It was so much more to me. Panic Room was so much more about Jodie Foster directing and stuff. So
sure.
I think that's what I was all caught up in.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, I think Breaking In has, like you said, has all the trailer tropes, and I don't know. Probably not going to see this one. What about you?
No, I'm going to see it. Gabrielle Union, she sold the ticket to me. But Billy Burke, I don't know. Is he enough of a bad guy?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I get it. Well, it's kind of like getting into the next one, A Quiet Place. Okay, so Billy Burke being, you know, a bad guy. I don't know. Is it so much that, you know, John Krasinski's like a hero? You know, Jim Halpert. You know, in A Quiet Place.
That takes us perfectly into our next movie. Jim, you've done this before. I actually got this one from another coworker. Thanks, Tim. He saw it. I saw it. But he was really taken aback by the sound design of the trailer and the way the trailer is silent throughout it.
No, I couldn't agree more.
And it's just an amazing, you know, it's silent in such a way that it, you know, it creates tension with the sound design that it's done. And then, and you know, like we're seeing a lot that trailers have like a first half and a second half, and they usually have that midway point that really hits a point home. And here the midway point is the the lamp falling over.
Right.
And as a parent of two, it's like, oh yeah, the kids are spilling the milk or the kids are knocking over the lantern and
always blame the kids.
Noise. Yeah. Well, you know, they're clumsy. What can you say?
Right. They're clumsy and they'll get you sick every time.
They'll get you sick. And in this case, they might get you killed.
Right. Yeah. The sound design, it lends you to wonder, is there even going to be any dialogue in this movie?
Oh God. Yeah. And is it an experimental movie? Is John Krasinski, is he like directing this and directing his wife, his real life wife in this?
Is that his real life wife?
Yeah. And
oh wow,
are they going to do this, you know, without any dialogue? I mean, is it like an experimental film? You know, like, it's amazing. So I don't know. Yeah. And the funny thing is, and I didn't put this together until just now, but they actually came up with the idea of the lip sync battle. You know, that show it used to be a skit on Jimmy Fallon's late night show where they do a lip sync battle. Uh-huh. Well, actually, Stephen Merchant and Emily Blunt and John Krasinski are all friends, and they came up with the idea of doing lip sync battles at their parties together and stuff. So to me, it's funny that they do lip sync battles, and now they're doing this movie called A Quiet Place with no dialogue in it whatsoever.
You know, and I was also wondering, too, I know, like, SAG. So if you get a job as an extra and you have mm-hmm. so many speaking lines over so many shows, then all of a sudden you have to start paying union dues and stuff, you know, and they have to pay you more money and everything. So I'm wondering, like, is it that the budget was low? So they're like, you know what? We're going to make a movie. We have no money. So no one's going to talk. And we're going to just make this movie around everybody walking around, shushing each other.
Yeah. Or maybe they shot for the first week and then they lost all the audio.
Hey, you know what? We know how that works, don't we? Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, they're like, Ted, just letting you know that I don't have this week's episode. All right, we'll do the whole thing silent.
If it was a video podcast, we could do it, but we don't do that. So
that's right. That's right. The one thing I was, okay, so if you watch The Walking Dead, the zombies are attracted to sound.
Yes.
But they show three claws on like, what is it, the staircase or something in the house?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the monsters are, zombies or some other, like, creature?
They feel like some kind of crazy bat dinosaur thing.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. The other thing about it, though, is, which seems kind of odd, is they can walk around, they can do all kinds of stuff, but they have to be quiet. Where are these things staged? So the moment you make a noise, they pounce on you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, where are they? It just seems bizarre.
I don't understand it. It's something that will have to be explained, and I am intrigued by the premise of it all. And looking forward to seeing, A, how they'll pull off the logic of the story, which is what you're talking about right there.
Oh, it seems like a totally incredible idea for a movie, for sure.
And then how to physically pull off the idea of communicating. You know, they do some sign language at dinner. They're, you know, they put sand down wherever they walk.
Yeah, like to quiet their steps or something.
Yeah, and then even the graphics are all in sand. So when they do the full frame graphics that are normally like very high contrast white letters on black background, this is like sand. So it's even more muted. Like the quiet place gets blown away as if it's just sand and it's all very temporary. So I like the idea of that, like even into the graphic design of the cards within the trailer, they're thinking about selling the mood in a very specific way and not making it the run of the mill.
I think it's your trailer that starts off like, you know, we've talked in the past where you get the idea that it's just this, you know, it's kind of slow moving kind of family. They lure you in to a sense of safety.
Right.
The very beginning, you think the girl's just on the beach and next thing you know, she's in a cornfield or whatever that is. But then the midway point is when the lantern falls over. I mean, then from that point on, it's game on, you know?
Yeah. And then you never see the monster, so it's kind of crazy.
Total suspenseful right there. Now, do you think they learned sign language for this, or they just had good coaching for each scene?
No, I don't know. It seems like they would learn sign language or I think they'd learn sign language.
At least to some extent.
Yeah, like you learn your lines for a script, you know?
You know, it's one of those kind of things where somebody is going to know sign language who's going to go watch it and be like, oh, they're just totally, they're phoning it in. Like, they don't speak sign language, you know? Yeah, my last comment, though, is the musical score. So as the trailer gets rolling and you get into the suspenseful part of it and everything, the music gives you the suspensefulness as though the monsters are kind of screaming or chasing and doing the things that the monsters are doing, when the whole time all of what you're hearing is just the music score. You know, I think that is just awesome. Like, I'm looking forward to the score on this.
Yeah, and I think when we were talking about it, it's funny to think of a movie and say that the reason you want to see it in the theater is because of the sound, the Dolby Atmos.
Yeah, the sound design.
The sound design is going to be all-encompassing and all around you and envelop you and like, hold you. And you're going to think about that as an audience, and it's okay that it's in the front of your mind. I mean, normally when you think of sound design, it definitely motivates, it definitely moves audiences, and it drives story. But it's not often pulled to the forefront of your consciousness as an audience. And this one does it, and it says, we're going to pull this to the front of your mind, and we're going to hold it there. So it's really great. It also harkens back to when you said that Zootopia, that trailer for Zootopia, the TV spot that where it's just
keeps coming back. Yeah, man, brilliant.
And it's, you know, flash, flash, 100-yard dash, but they just play him out in this, you know, 30-second, 60-second TV spot where it's just him trying to do his one thing over the DMV. But it pulls you in because it's so right. Different than everything else.
Oh, yeah, it's gripping. You know, and I mean, like they say, you know, they put up the cards, silence is survival. The biggest problem that I have with it is I tell my kids all the time, silence is a virtue, you know, but they just never listen. When is this one going to be released?
It has April. Oh, yeah. So we're definitely going to do that more of as a matter of more regularly. So this one is currently scheduled for April 6th, 2018.
Yeah, coming up here in a little while.
Yeah.
And then Breaking In, I was looking, it just says 2018. I didn't see a date for it.
No, not yet. So I think they haven't necessarily slotted in their weekend.
And then Red Sparrow, I'm not sure if we mentioned it, but that one's March 2nd, 2018. So that's coming up here in a month and a half.
Yeah, Red Sparrow's soon. Breaking In now says May 11th.
Oh, May 11th. Okay, so that's looking closer to the summer. Well, I guess that's what, mid-spring?
Is it? I think that's summer, because the summer blockbusters are actually going to be surrounding it. So on May the 4th is going to be the new Avengers movie.
Be with you.
What's that?
You said May the 4th. I said be with you.
I know. See, and this is my – I was trying to start an online campaign because the Han Solo movie is coming out at the end of May. And Avengers movie is coming out on May 4th. So when Robert Downey Jr. announced that, like, he tweeted out that, like, May the 4th was set for Avengers Infinity War, I tweeted him back and was like, can you just throw a little synergy love to your, you know, your friends across the way at the end of the month there and switch dates with the Solo Star Wars story movie that's coming out at the end of May? But he didn't write back.
Yeah, no, you know, poor planning. Yeah, definitely the Solo movie I'm going to see. Superheroes, I'm not really into superhero movies, though as my kids are getting older, they are certainly into Spider-Man and Batman and Superman.
Cool.
They definitely like their superheroes.
So I think those were the four movies this week.
Well, a TV show thrown in. I think they're going into the third season for The Expanse. Clarissa and I are about midway through the first season.
And you're watching it on Netflix?
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Okay.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. So, yeah, we get Prime, Netflix. Those are the two we subscribe to.
When you watch it on Amazon Prime, is it still branded with sci-fi?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, no, it's a sci-fi show. I mean, it's just, I don't know the background to how Amazon license for sci-fi programming, or maybe they have exclusive rights to sci-fi shows that Netflix doesn't have or something. But I do know we tried to do some streaming with Stars,
mm-hmm.
which I think, isn't that what Outlanders is on?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we wanted to watch Outlander because my mom was talking about it. So we're going to stream with Stars. And for whatever the reason, Comcast isn't playing nice with Stars or vice versa. Or,
oh.
You know, there might be mutual hatred. I don't know what's going on between them. But you cannot get Stars through your Comcast account with streaming. You just can't. They won't, like... So you know when you go to log in to stream and you have to put in your internet provider and there's like Cox and Spectrum and there's all these different ones?
Right, right.
When it comes to Stars, they don't offer Comcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whatever.
I think everybody's getting very tense with those relationships and that's called validating through your cable provider, through your MVPD. But now Stars has gone straight to the consumer. So they feel like they have enough of cache of shows and content to bring it straight to the consumer for that flat fee. But their flat fee, they're doing a Netflix.
They're doing like HBO to go or something.
Yeah. It's called D2C. It's called direct to consumer. Yeah. I prefer the term I'm trying to get sold is MaaS. You know, there's this thing called software as a service.
Okay.
And it's called SaaS. And I'm trying to get MaaS sold in as an idea, as a hashtag or something where it's media as a service. Because I think direct to consumer is focusing on the wrong aspects of what that is. They're trying to link the studio's content directly with the consumer. But I think if you think of it as media as a service, then that kind of talks to more of like the subscription-based thing that everybody's trying to do. It talks more about the subscription than about getting directly to the consumer, you know?
Okay.
There's a nuance in there that I'm trying to sell, but I have to flesh it out a little more before I talk too much about it.
Yeah.
But $8.99. So $8.99 for Starz content. If you really like Outlander and your cable provider doesn't take Starz or isn't playing nice with Starz, then that's your only other thing. And I don't know if you're going to pay $8.99 for one show.
Well, you know, and that's where the Netflix DVDs came in, because what we wound up doing was Black Sails we wanted to watch. I think a friend turned us on to Black Sails. Actually, Scott across the street from you did.
Is that Stars too?
And that was a Stars show.
Okay.
And yeah, Scott was talking about Black Sails. So I thought, okay, well, we'll check it out. And it's on Stars. So I went to log in and nope, couldn't get it. So then I thought, well, I guess I'll re-up the DVDs or Blu-rays or whatever. And we went through all the Black Sails and we got to the end and it was like, okay, well, that show's over. Let's turn off the DVDs again.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. And that's kind of how I've been operating with the Blu-ray discs and, you know, depending on what's available and what's not available and how we can get it. And when we really want to see it, you know, we kick it up. I mean, and maybe we are paying, you know, it's like you said, $8.99 for a show. But then again, we're turning on DVDs for that time. And I mean, we're still paying that much anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, I said $8.99 and I kind of turned my nose up at doing Stars for one show. But we get CBS for Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's what, $5.99? $5.99 a month feels like that's a good price to get a show. And if you get extra stuff, then fine. And, you know, I wanted to turn it off in that hiatus between the first half of the season and the second half of the season, but I didn't do it. I spent the $6 and didn't watch anything over December. So I think they have you.
Yeah, and maybe going through Stars. I mean, if you can binge it, you know, you turn it on for, what did you say it was, $9.99 or something, or $8.99?
$8.99, yeah.
And you can binge it and say, you know, even if you did an episode at night, you're done with the whole thing by the end of the month, let's say. Whereas when you're doing four episodes a disc, or say three episodes a disc, and you're trying to turn it around as fast as you can in the mail, you know, by the time you're all said and done, you're doing like maybe a season a month. And Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess a season a month. And
yeah, you could do it.
Yeah. But what I'm saying, though, is, I mean, $10.99 is what I, off the top of my head, is what I think Netflix is.
Yeah, for the discs.
Yeah. And Starz is $8.99. I mean, it's probably a cheaper deal to do $8.99 for one show just to get it done. And when you're done watching it, just cancel the subscription.
And if it's streaming, then it's streaming, you know?
Well, I prefer streaming. I watch it when I want and when I'm ready. I don't have to wait for the mail.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, there you go. I think we, you talked us into it. I think we're doing it.
You know, I think I talked me out of ever doing Netflix DVDs again. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's more expensive. Just go, it's $1 cheaper for, or $2 cheaper a month for streaming, and you get it when you want, and you're done when you're done. I mean, because like I said, when we do the Blu-rays, I mean, we're paying the money anyway for the one show. So yeah. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Oh, how about 3-word review for A Quiet Place? Yeah.
Quiet Place.
And maybe Breaking In, since I didn't put the screws to you on that one.
Oh, that Breaking In was definitely Die Hard heiress.
Okay, I got you there.
And then that was the typical Die Hard. If it's a Die Hard movie, we're just going to go with the one word and just add it to Die Hard. And then for A Quiet Place, I liked the thing where we workshopped this already. Silent but deadly.
Silent but deadly. Oh, yeah, there you go. Silent but deadly. Okay, there's three. Yeah.
Silent but deadly, because how do you pass gas when the monsters are coming to get you?
I was about to say that. Like, okay, Mom, don't make bean soup. Oh, baby, I just made bean soup. We're all going to die tonight. You know, I mean, and it's like a double entendre, you know, like we're all going to die. Wait, from the monsters or from passing gas?
One way or another, right. We're going down.
Yeah, and we're all trapped in this one room because we're all like fearful.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. So, all right. So yeah, I think we nailed it again this week. You know, we're kind of awesome. Hitting the stride and
I hope so.
All right, Ted. Well, hey, I'll catch you next week, man.
All right, Jim. See you next week.
Okay. Have a good night.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.